Welcome to Band of Gamers Podcast, episode number 5. My name is Greylock3491, and this week I'm joined by DBQ Hams. DB, say hi.
Hey, guys. Hi.
As well as Osiris Prime. Prime, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everybody.
And as we do every week, we start off talking about what we've been playing this week. And I'll go ahead, since I have the microphone, I'll go ahead and start first. And it's been a busy week at work, so I really only got in some Destiny. But the good news was I got the weekly done, and both my characters, I got a bunch of strange coins, and I was able to buy the exotic auto rifle, Suros Regime. And I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, but I really like this auto rifle. It is really cool. And, you know, I've been playing mostly the Scout Rifle since the game came out. And but I'm really digging it. I'm using it with my Warlock, who doesn't have an exotic Scout Rifle. And I like it. I can zoom in, take shots one at a time, or zoom out and just unload on people. And I'm liking it. So very happy with what Zur brought this week. I'm a little bummed out, though, because I really need to get an exotic chest for my Hunter. And this week he had an exotic chest for a Warlock and for a Titan, but not for a Hunter. So, but that's it. That's what I've been playing. Osiris, what have you been playing?
I haven't had a chance to play too much this past week. I know we had kind of a week off there, so kind of the week prior, and then a little bit yesterday that I had a chance to play, I was playing Tomb Raider, which I was trying to, that's one of my backlog games that I'm trying to go through. And I think I've got about, I was looking last night, about 8 hours into that, and I'm not sure if I'm near the end yet. I thought I was, but it just kept going and going, so I'm just chugging along on that. And then I played a little Battlefield Hardline, and actually, I don't think it was last week, but the week before, maybe I played with DB, World Voyager, and a couple other guys from the CAG site. So we got on there for probably about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. So that was fun. And then the old staple, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, that I been playing a little bit, not too much of, but played a little bit of. And that's pretty much it. I haven't had a chance to play too much. DB, how about you?
I guess, yeah, it's been a little bit here since we've talked last. So as like you guys, I've played some Destiny. I got my second character up to 31, so now I've got two characters at 31. So, Gray, if you're ever ready to start running Nightfalls, that would be a great way to grab some more exotic drops. So I've been doing kind of at that stale point where I've got a character at level 6. And two at 31, and so I'm running the weeklies and the nightfalls. But I picked up Battlefield Hardlines. So as Prime said, we ran it a couple Hot Wire and some Blood Money maps back a week ago, and we're going to run it again this week. We're not super successful, let's just say that. There were some on our squad that were really good, and there were some like myself who... yeah, we're still getting the hang of it. That was the second day that I had fired up Hardlines. So hopefully I may be getting a little bit better, but in the meantime, I hadn't been playing a lot of Hardlines, but I've gone back in and played more Hotwire. I'm really enjoying that, you know, kind of coming off of a stretch of watching some cheesy action movies. Hotwire works really well as kind of outrun the cops or chase down the bad guys in terms of the vehicles and weapons. It's a nice little mix versus just a traditional conquest, things like that. But I haven't touched the single player yet. Gray, I know that you were talking about the single player. Have you gone back to that at all?
No, you know, I did the very first mission, and I want to run that again. But, you know, it's kind of a time investment, so it's not. I didn't get the feeling like I could save anywhere. So, you know, I want to make sure I have an hour or two when I do it again, and that's just very rare. You know, with Destiny, you can drop out of a mission anytime, whereas, you know, with a single-player campaign, you kind of want to get to that checkpoint before you drop out, and I'm not quite sure where they are. So, no, I haven't gotten back to it yet.
Yeah, it really seems like they're episode-oriented, so you kind of got to make your way through one of the episode blocks before you kind of move over to the next stuff. So Outside of Destiny and Hardline, I had been kind of picking up some other bits and pieces here and there, kind of as a palate cleanser. This past weekend, I picked up Guacamelee for the third time on three different platforms. So when it came out on PS3, I ended up picking it up there. I've picked it up on Humble Bundles before for PC. I played it a little bit, and now I just most recently picked it up, the Super Turbo Championship Edition is for current consoles, and I picked that up on the Xbox One. It was on sale for, it was like $6. And I don't know, I mean, we've talked about kind of classic games before, but Guacamelee really fits into that Metroid style to the point of, you know, you're breaking open things that look like the Chozo statues from Metroid that give you different powers up. But it's actually, you can also play co-op multiplayer. So today my sons and I ended up playing it a little bit together, and it was both a little bit frustrating as one was making jumps and one wasn't, and that wasn't always me making them. And it was also a lot of fun to kind of team up in kind of that beat-em-up brawler Metroidvania where you've got a map type of way. So I played that. I also, thinking of kind of digging back into that Humble Bundle pieces, you know, if you haven't checked out Humble Bundle, there's always some really interesting indie games there. But I ended up playing a little bit Breach and Clear. It's a iOS game, it's on Android, and it's also on PC. I know it's on Steam, but Breach and Clear, it ends up being, what it really reminded me of, Gray, is the setup of like the really early and original Rainbow Six, Tom Clancy Rainbow Six PC games, where you're setting up kind of where the stage, where you have your squad and what their tactics are, and are you, which doorways you're coming in through, and then you're covering your sixes and you've got certain sight angles. But it plays out kind of like a turn-based game. So it plays out almost like a Fire Emblem or XCOM in terms of the turn-based pieces. You guys seen anything like that, Breach and Clear, before?
No, I have never. I think I might have heard of it, but I've never played it or played anything like that before.
If you got a chance, Gray, maybe check it out. Maybe there's a demo on Steam. I know that you've got your PC back up and updated, so you might, you know, the idea, if you enjoyed Rainbow Six, it might be something to kind of dabble with. You know, I don't think it wasn't something where I invested hours of my time, but it filled a 20-minute break in between other stuff. So two other things that I had been playing are, again, you know, we're in that kind of mushy time of the year where there's not big releases, and I'm kind of going back, you know, like Prime, you've been going back and cleaning up some of your backlog. I picked up Infinite Crisis, which is a MOBA on PC with DC characters. It was just released on Steam, but it's been in beta and on regular PC release for a while, but it plays out kind of like Dota or League of Legends, but with different DC characters. I posted on the forums if anybody's played some MOBAs before, because I really haven't done a whole lot with them. You know, I know that there's plenty of the community out there that love that type of gameplay, but I'm just kind of trying to get into it. It's kind of daunting, but at the same time, the idea of doing it with DC characters makes it a little more fun, that there's different versions of Batman and The Flash and Cyborg, Wonder Woman, and I ended up playing Aquaman for a while, and it plays out, you know, if you haven't played, it's kind of like an RTS, but only with one single character, and so it's got a learning curve, certainly, but I might come back to it, so I'll be curious if there's anybody out in the forums that would love to kind of mentor me through and as I kind of dabble with it. The one other thing, since it was Easter last week, I ended up playing some time playing some games with my sons, and we got back into Skylanders. You know, I've talked about Diablo on this podcast before in terms of the wonderful loot and leveling up grind. Really, Skylanders plays out like a kid version of it. You know, it's very much, you've got different characters with different strengths, and they ended up getting a few Skylanders for Easter some of the springtime ones that there was a nice sale on, so Dad picked them up for him. But that whole idea of Toys to Life is really something that I've had fun with my kids, and now this week with one of the new news announcements from Lego, that we've got another whole layer of that. Did you guys see that news announcement? The Lego Dimensions is coming out?
Yeah, actually, I saw the trailer, I think it was Friday night. I was just kind of flipping through IGN's site, and I saw the trailer for it, and I was like, oh, what's this? And I was watching it, and it's kind of didn't know what was going on at first. Like, you see the Legos, like, jump out of this portal, you know, talking to, like, a human, and then, you know, they kind of jump back into it, and then kind of at the end, they show, like, the portal with kind of the announcement of the game, and I was like, well, I kind of don't understand what this is, so I had to, you know, do some research and look it up, and basically, yeah, it's kind of like Skylanders and Disney Infinity and stuff like that, where you have the guys and the vehicles and power-ups and stuff like that you can basically put into the game.
What? How old do you think the kids have to be able to play either Skylanders or this new Lego game?
So, I don't know. I think I'm thinking about kids that I've met that are excited about them, or little kids that I've seen carry some of the toys out. You know, I think you could probably play around with it. You know, and this is a whole nother parenting question, right? Is how, at what age are you putting a controller in your son or daughter's hands? But I think with some of those, you could play them as early as 3 or 4. I mean, they're not very violent. They're very cartoony. You know, Disney Infinity is clearly designed at a younger audience in terms of, you know, when you throw the Toy Story characters into a game like they did last year, you're certainly going to hit a wide range of audiences. So, you know, I think it's relatively safe when things break. You know, somebody dies or loses their stuff, like the Lego games, they just fall apart and come back. So I think it could be relatively early, but it'll be interesting. Some of the, you know, Prime, I'll let you talk about this, because you just finished up, what did you finish up, Marvel Lego, is that right?
Yeah, I had finished it up, I think like a month or two ago. And as far as like Infinity and stuff like that, I have a 4-year-old, and he can play it. I mean, he doesn't really understand, you know. There is kind of a story that you can go through on some of the, depending on what kind of play sets you have. But he really doesn't understand that part. But, you know, I just throw him in the toy box and let him run around and, you know, place a vehicle down so he can fly it around or, you know, drive it around, you know. So it's, I mean, he can at least play it that way. As far as Skylanders, I don't know if there's an overall arching story to it. I'm assuming there is. But yeah, I mean, like I said, he's 4, so he can at least, you know, just kind of run around and do some, you know, things in those worlds. And like with at least Disney Infinity, you can create your own worlds and, you know, build whatever you want. So it's interesting.
What are you thinking, Gray? Are you thinking that the difference, the Disney and Skylanders and Lego are trying to catch different age audiences, or do you think they end up cannibalizing each other? What's your line of thought there with the age brackets?
Well, you know, I was just thinking about my own grandkids. Last time I tried to play a Lego game with them, they were 4 and 6, and they struggled a little bit. I mean, what I think is normal progression, you gotta kind of follow a path and get as many things as you want, beat up the bad guys, they really struggled with. Now, they have absolutely no problems playing Minecraft together on a couple of iPads, right? So they picked that up really quick. And I don't know if it's the touch interface or what it is, but trying to use, maybe it is the touch interface, because maybe it is the controller. It's the obstacle. What do you think, Prime?
Yeah, I think with the regular Lego games, just like the Marvel Super Heroes and, say, like the Lord of the Rings and stuff like that, it's probably a little harder for kids that age, like 4 or 5, especially like 3, you know, then 4 or 5. Because, you know, it's kind of a set story that you got to follow and, you know, do. And like I said, with my son, he doesn't understand that right now. He just wants to, you know, like, screw around and, you know, run around in the world. So with, like, the regular Lego games, it's, you know, you're probably going to have a hard time. But something like Disney Infinity and, you know, like you mentioned, Minecraft, you know, that's kind of easier because you can kind of just do what you want. I'm not sure I didn't like read up on if there's how the story's going in the Lego in this new one, Dimensions. So I don't know if it's sounds like it's just kind of straightforward. You know, there's an overall story arc to it, so might be a little bit harder for the younger kids.
I think that's a really good point, Prime. The idea of the toy box area in the Disney Infinity games is really opens it up to a lot of ages, because you know, you could plop them down with a favorite character and just kind of let them run around and have fun, or pick up a little chubby Winnie the Pooh toy that's there, or different things, and just kind of interact with it very much in that same way that they do with Minecraft. I think that that's one of the things. You know, I've got both Infinity and the second Infinity with the Marvel characters, and I think that that is a, you know, my sons who are in the middle school and elementary school, you know, they've played just as much time in the toy box as they have in the, actually, they've played a lot more time in the toy box than they have in the story modes, but they also play a lot of time in Minecraft, and so I think it kind of taps into that. Skylanders doesn't really have that. Skylanders is kind of a traditional game, and I think that that may be a place where, you know, hopefully Lego, with the wonders of being able to build and assemble stuff, that they add a component into that, so it's not simply just a story mode, but they, you know, I think that that would be a nice aspect. That's a good idea.
Yeah, you would think it would kind of lend itself to, you know, a toy box type of mode or you know, something like that, where you could just build something and, you know, run around with it. Almost kind of like, I don't know if you guys ever played Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts on the 360. But it was kind of let you build, you know, to give you like various parts that you can kind of put together and, you know, build your own vehicles and, you know, fly around in that world or drive around that world or, you know, whatever you built, you can use it. So I mean, I could see the Lego game trying to do that and, you know, expand on that. You can like build whatever you want or, you know, do whatever you want. So almost like kind of like Minecraft, so.
So I think, you know, there sounds like there's some interest in the idea of it. So let's throw the other wrinkle into the mix of the price tag. So I'm somebody who's, you know, I bargain hunt and cheap ass gamer sites and things like that. The starting set for this is $99, $99.99, and you know, where by the time Christmas rolls around, it comes out in September. By the time Christmas rolls around, it probably will see some discounts. You know, Skylanders every Black Friday ends up being, the last two times it's been, starts off at 75, but it gets down to what, the half price. It's 37.50. You know, it's under $40. That if you know to wait, it's going to drop quite a bit. But you know, Lego regular toys are not cheap either. A set of Minecraft Lego toys is $40 for a little couple squares. So does $100 seem reasonable based on Lego pricing, or does it start to kind of push the higher end when you're paying for, you know, the cost of half a system? What do you think, Prime?
Yeah, it seems pretty steep. I mean, even the I think the Disney Infinities were like 75 too, I believe, for the starter pack, which came with the three figures, a play set, and I think a power disc or two, which gives you like a different power or vehicle or something. So it's kind of surprising that it's going to be 99 for that starter pack. I don't know what it's going to come with, so maybe it would come with more than like Disney Infinity and the Skylanders offers, but it just seems, yeah, it does seem kind of expensive, and just kind of this whole, you know, buy a toy for the game is pretty expensive. You know, it's what, at least 10 to $15, depending on which game you're buying these things for. So it gets pretty expensive pretty fast.
Yeah, it does seem to add up. So the starter pack comes with the game and a portal and some Legos that you're able to kind of assemble around the portal to make it your own. And then it'll come with three characters. So it's got Batman and Gandalf from Lord of the Rings and Wildstyle from the movie. But you know, I think, you know, you're right in terms of the individual characters. That Disney Infinity people are $12 or $13. Skylanders are either $10 or $15. You know, and my sons have had fun playing with them as toys outside of the game. Last year's Skylanders, where you could kind of mix and match their tops and bottoms with magnets, Ended up giving my sons a ton of time playing. They played more with them as just action figures than they did with toys. But, Gray, you mentioned, you know, you're thinking about your grandkids. At what price point does it kind of become not really a birthday gift or a Christmas gift?
Well, and I think that, you know, $100 is, you got to be dedicated to buy that for a kid. They got to really want it. And if they're in school and the buzz is all about that new game, then yeah, that's definitely going to be a mom and dad's budget or grandma and grandpa's budget. But, you know, I almost kind of think back to what I got my kids for the holidays and for their birthdays. And, you know, just talking about the, you know, kind of segueing into Prime's topic a little bit, you know, gaming and children. And what is, I mean, how do we integrate gaming into our children's lives or our grandchildren's lives? And, you know, we love puzzles. We love real Legos that you actually sit down and play with. But at some point, I think there's new experiences that can be had on the tablet and on the console. And one of those on the tablet is Minecraft, where you can have two iPads side by side and my two grandkids can play in the same world together. I mean, that's really, really cool. And then games like Legos and like Skylanders and whatnot. You know, it's you know, at what point did you guys introduce? Well, let me pitch it to Prime. At what point did you decide to introduce your son to gaming, and how did you do that?
Yeah, for the longest time, I was kind of I don't want to say struggling, but I was just kind of thinking of how I wanted to, you know, bring him into gaming, you know. You know, we're kind of the first generation that grew up on games. You know, I think we all probably played around the Atari age, or, you know, at least the NES. And so, I mean, I've always, you know, had games in my life. And I was just thinking, you know, what am I going to do when, you know, he's old enough to play games? Should I go back and, you know, give him an NES or something? I don't have an NES now, but I think I have a Super Nintendo. It's like the oldest game system I have. You know, should I start him from the beginning, or should I, you know, give him an iPad or an iPod or some kind of tablet to, you know, fool around with? Or, you know, well, I kind of struggled with that. And it kind of eventually what I did was I kind of just mixed it all together. I think the first time you did kind of play any kind of game was on a tablet. And then I had, I didn't buy it, but I think I found it at my parents' house. They had my old SNES, so I got that, and, you know, he kind of played around with that, and he's played Minecraft on my Xbox One, so he's kind of just mixing it all up now, right now. But the one thing I kind of find out as I'm watching him play these games is the games that are easiest for him are on the tablet, and strangely enough, on the Wii, because, you know, using the remote control, or even the Wii U, because the gamepad has, gyros on it, so you can use that, you know, you can move it around. He's much better with the Wii remote and, like, the tablet, where it's, like, some touch or, you know, some kind of tactile interface, you know, where he can, you know, if he's playing Mario Kart on the Wii, he can actually turn the remote like a, you know, like a steering wheel, you know, in that he gets that. If I, when I switched him over to the Wii U, and I kind of forgot in that version of Mario Kart, you can, I think in defaults, just like regular, the stick controls, he was kind of having a hard time with that. He kept trying to, you know, move the gamepad around, so until I figured out, you know, you could switch it back to the gyro, you know, to the motion control, and then he, you know, he just picked it right up. He's, you know, able to play it, so that was what I did. I don't know, how about you, DB, how did you introduce gaming with your kids?
So we're a little different in terms of our kids' age brackets, which is another neat thing as well. My kids are 11 and 9, and so when the Wii came out, you know, when I picked up a Wii in 2008, my kids were 5 and 3. You know, I remember I had a gaming event at the college that I worked at the time, and our youngest, who was 2, I've got a great picture of him and my boss playing bowling together. You know, that was one of an early gaming memory of how to, you know, that they came into that tactile, that motion-controlled time. The idea of when to introduce it and how, I think, is for us, for my wife and I at the time, it was a pretty big discussion because we knew that, you know, it could, you know, whether or not it takes more time away from something else or other things. You know, I had, when my son, my oldest, was little, I only had a Game Boy Advance and a DS. You know, I hadn't really had a lot of console games since the N64, PlayStation 1 days, and mainly because I was playing on playing portables because it was easy to push pause and set it down when you're chasing around little kids or rushing between diaper changes. And the DS was great for that. But one of my oldest son's first games that he played was Zelda Phantom Hourglass on the DS. And it was, you know, it was motion controlled where you're drawing with the stylus and controlling Link. But there was a ton of text, and one of the incentives for him was he needed to learn how to read before he could play it. And once he did that, he was off and running. Granted, you know, he started reading around the age of 4 because he was motivated to play what Dad was playing, but it worked, you know, and that was definitely a piece there. But both my sons ended up kind of coming up of the age during the DS and the Wii, and so, you know, I agree with you, Prime, in terms of motion controls, that was really big for them and a great way that they kind of transitioned into gaming. It ended up being, you know, for somebody who grew up with, you know, owning the original Nintendo Power and having that as part of my childhood experiences, my kids ended up digging back into back catalog stuff and, you know, through the internet and through other things, lots of people on YouTube, but because they were playing modern Mario games, they wanted to go back and see what old Mario games were like, and that was kind of their incentive to get back in and play a little bit. So, one other thing, you know, you brought up Prime, you brought up Minecraft, and the first time my younger son played Minecraft on the computer, you know, they had played on the tablets a lot. And I think this is part of the point, and it'd be interesting, Prime, if you get to this point, where they were playing on the computer for the first time after playing on tablets and the touch scroll controls, and the whole idea of WASD, which for us as traditional gamers is relatively straightforward, was such a total foreign concept to them in terms of how to control and move out and things like that. Prime, what were you were thinking of some other aspects here with kids and gaming?
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say, I don't know if I mentioned my son is 4, and I just have the one son, so as far as like when me and my wife were talking about it, I don't think we even kind of even discussed like when it was gonna happen. We just kind of knew it would eventually, just because I'm always playing games, and you know, she used to play some games every once in a while, but she's pretty mostly just doing like tablet games. She used to do some console gaming before, you know. So we definitely wanted to introduce, you know, gaming into his life at some point. And like I said, it was just, you know, the tablet gaming just kind of easier, seemed to come easier for him. How about you, Gray? When did your kids start gaming?
Well, you know, it's been so long. They're all adults now. You know, I'm thinking more of my grandkids. And, you know, like I said, I'm a big, big champion of diversity, different types of games, puzzles, Legos, physical stuff, as well as, you know, video games. And, you know, even just a couple of months ago, I introduced my grandkids to Uno. And they love it, and they picked it up right away, you know. And they're now 5 and 6, and they love it, and they play really good, and they really get it, and they're really good at it. And you know, going back to what they kind of gravitated towards, they struggle with the controller, and I think it may be what other people are doing is what they decide they want to learn. So my grandkids sees everybody on their iPads, everybody on their smartphones, and they want to do touch, and they find touch real easy. But when my kids were younger, there was no touch. There was no iPhones, you know. And so they struggled, but they picked up the controller pretty quick. So part of me thinks that our kids, their desire, they're going to want to do what they see us doing because mom and grandma, they're always on their iPads and iPhones. That's what they want to do. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's why they gravitate towards that. And then games like Minecraft, unlike Legos, unlike like Lego Star Wars or Lego Lord of the Rings, there's not you don't really have to do anything. You could just walk around, you know? So one of the things my grandson will do is he'll walk around until he falls into a pit, and then he'll create a new world because he doesn't know how to get out of the pit. He doesn't know how to restart. He doesn't know how to get somewhere safe. So he just creates a new world. So I'll get my iPad back, and there'll be 28 new worlds in Minecraft. So I don't know. What do you think, Prime or DB?
Yeah, I think Minecraft is just like universal for like anybody, because it's just an adult can build the Eiffel Tower if they want or whatever, and down to the 4 or 5 year old who could just run around and break apart stuff or maybe kind of build things every once in a while, if they kind of grasp with the how to play that game. But yeah, it's just interesting.
So maybe this is another whole topic as well, but I've been really interested to see my kids' progression of Minecraft over the years, over in the last 2 years even, where it's gone from kind of throwing in to just one world to creating a whole bunch, like you were talking about, Gray, to, they keep coming back to the same world that they keep, tweaking and adding stuff to, and now they've started doing things like Hunger Games runs in Minecraft and all these different kind of impromptu game modes that people have created where they've done like obstacle courses and you have to, get to the end under a certain period of time, or this whole kind of meta game to it where they've taken the game where you can build anything and they've added different rule sets in.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And just one other thing I wanted to add real quick. Another thing I used to, well, I shouldn't say I used to do, I still do every once in a while, but I would watch like different YouTube videos on like Let's Play type of stuff on YouTube. Specifically, I can't remember his name now. Toby Turner. He has a channel called Toby Games. He actually has a few different channels, but one's called Toby Games. And I used to actually watch him, let my son watch that because he was pretty clean. He never swore or did anything like that. So he was just playing the game, and he played a variety of games. But I only used to let him watch like the Mario games if he played, or Zelda. He always likes to watch the Zelda ones, which was there's like 65 different videos. They're pretty short. They're like 10, 15 minutes at the most. So, and I was kind of I was always doing that. And I think he just kind of as I'm watching that, and he noticed, I have these game systems and everything, he wanted to start playing. So that's, I think, how the console gaming started to come through. So.
That's interesting, Prime, to think about people, our kids watching other games or other people talking about games. My sons watched a bunch of the Wii Viewer. They were big into Wii games. And this was a dad, it started off with a dad and his son reviewing games. And then eventually it was a dad and his son and his younger son. So my kids loved it. And it got to the point where my older son started talking with the same kind of cadence and sarcasm as the reviewer. So then maybe, I started to, we had conversations like, talk about what you really think about it rather than what you heard somebody else say, that kind of developmental thing about creating your own impression of it and not just parroting back what somebody else is saying. And so it ended up, games have been a really interesting kind of social interaction for my kids, whether it's that idea of starting to come up with your own pieces. My son got a streaming device, a video capture device for Christmas, so he could start doing his own Let's Plays. That's a big piece there. But it was also, when my sons were your son age, Prime, my wife and I had we had big conversations about how much time that they would end up spending on, video games became the Saturday morning cartoons of what it was for me growing up, that instead of coming and wanting to watch cartoons, they wanted to play a cartoon. And so it really it kind of made me think about kind of media consumption and, like you're talking about, Gray, that getting some diversity in there, whether it's, the type of games, but also just the type of interactions, whether it's physical games and outside play and video games, that it's about being able to balance all those pieces. And I think that's a good takeaway for any of us of, thinking about how we balance gaming in our lives.
Yeah, I have four children, and I think most of them can do the most of the time my four kids automatically balance gaming, TV, internet with life. But one of my children does not have the ability to do that. And so what I would say to all parents is, as your kids become preteens and teens, be the bad guy, put limits on what they can do, and never regret it. Because I'll tell you what, if you happen to have a child who can't balance that, then, their homework doesn't get done, their schoolwork doesn't get done, they may not graduate high school, they may not go off to college. I mean, we've all heard the stories about 35-year-old kids living in their parents' basements. I don't think that's what we want for our children. So, just PSA announcement, don't be afraid to limit your kids. It's awesome. Limit your kids, what they can do. Nobody should be playing 7-8 hours of gaming when they're in high school. There's just, unless they get all A's.
I think the other point, if we're throwing out PSA announcements, one of the other points is, for us as gaming parents, I think it puts us in a really good position, is that this is the media that our kids are consuming. And so it's better for us to know about that, to know about what sites to go to read about a controversy or find out about a game, than a parent who, every time I walk out of GameStop, I see a parent with a really young kid, picking up Grand Theft Auto or some other game, or having my son, when he was in second grade, talking about his, friends who are playing Call of Duty. After Christmas, I teach Sunday school, and one of the kids who is in first grade was all excited that he got Call of Duty for Christmas. And, there are media types for every type of player in every age bracket, but at some point, if that's what the parents decided is appropriate, great. I hope that they decided and didn't just buy it because somebody asked for it. That they're engaged enough to be able to have that.
Yeah, we had a situation when we first moved out here 11 years ago where I think it was 7 at the time, 7-year-old son came home and said, "Hey, the neighbor has Grand Theft Auto." And I says, "Now you're never allowed in that person's house ever. You cannot go in their house." And it's like, 7-year-old does not need to be thinking about the hot coffee mod and thinking about stealing cars and killing people. I'm sorry. That's my opinion. And that's the way I raised my kids. But, I think it's very important. I was very proud of my youngest son when he was, during the holiday season, was teaching at a game store. And he stopped several grandmothers from buying GTA for their kindergarten and first grade kids. And, I think we all need to do a better job of educating the uneducated.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. And I just had this recently play out as a driveway moment with my son, taking back before, just Monday. I'm stumbling over it because I'm still kind of thinking it through. But not only the content of the games, but it is the larger context of gaming culture. So my son, who watches a lots of Let's Plays, the 11-year-old in middle school, he got into the car and started complaining about Arnita Sarkeesi and all the Gamersgate. He didn't even really understand what Gamersgate was, but one of the Let's Play guys that he watches was really ragging on her and criticizing her and being really slanderous. And so we ended up having this kind of larger conversation about what else was going on, why these things were happening, and what was being said. And, for a parent to be able to have that conversation, it ended up talking about how, as men, we treat women and how we respect, how we should be respecting people and valuing people as individuals, not just in terms of images and but also in the way that people express and stand up for themselves, and having respectful dialogues. I mean, it was not the conversation I thought I was going to have with my son at 8:45 on a Monday night, but I'm so glad that I was informed enough to be able to have that, rather than to just let him believe what somebody was telling him he should believe. So I guess I'm bringing down the podcast here as we spiral into lots of parenting advice and PSA announcements. But is there any other news that was happening? It was kind of a slow week. You know, even some of the other podcasts that I was listening to were mentioning that there wasn't a whole lot else going on. Did you guys have any other things that kind of came up on your radar?
Well, I just happened to have my new segment, which I'm calling the Fabulous Facebook 5. And as you guys know, if you follow Casual Adult Gamers group on Facebook, every morning when I get a chance to browse the gaming websites, I love to share those news stories which I think are interesting. And so we've been hearing, the first one I'll cover is, we've been hearing rumblings about this. What is the next Call of Duty? Will it be Black Ops or something new? It's the first time this development group was able to spend 3 years on a project, so I hear. And it is official. The next Call of Duty will be Call of Duty Black Ops 3. So that's story number 5. Story number 4 is, we are now, inside of Destiny, going to be able to lock our exotics so we don't accidentally delete them. I've come close a couple times, but I haven't. But I know other people have dismantled them by accident, according to the Bungie website. And so that's a new feature that is coming in patch 1.12. And so that is story number 4. Let's go to story number 3. Xur, what did he bring this week? A lot of good stuff if you like exotic auto rifles, or if you have a warlock, or a Titan. I think I kind of already went over this, but pretty cool stuff from Xur. I hope next week he brings an exotic chest, please. But that's number 3. Now let's go to number 2. Number 2 is, you can get an Xbox One for $225. Yes, if you have 120 gigabyte PS3 or a 250 gigabyte Xbox 360, you can trade it in for $125 towards an Xbox One. Now, honestly, I don't think this is the best deal. The Microsoft Store was giving it out $100 for any 360 that was working.
Yeah,
so I'm not sure that's the best earn.
A week ago, GameSpot was given $175 before the end of March. So it's, you know, there's definitely deals out there for people looking.
And for my final Fast 5, Fast Facebook 5, it is Humble Bundle, almost done. It'll be done by the time you hear this, I'm sorry. But 10 Rockstar games are on sale for ridiculously low prices on the Humble Bundle website, so check it out. And that is my Fast 5. What do you guys think?
Can I add a 6th one or a 4.5? How about the announcement of the new Deus Ex? Deus Ex, Mankind, something, something.
Divided.
Lots more yellows and blacks coming our way.
I haven't played the previous generation one. I forgot what it's called. I can't remember what it's called.
Human Revolution.
Okay,
Human
yeah.
Revolution.
It looked interesting. I just never got around to play it. I just had too much going on. But I did, like, originally back in the day on the PC, I played the very first game. So it was okay. I thought it was all right, but I don't know.
I got it on the PC. I think I got the Game of the Year edition over here somewhere, but I never get into it. I guess there was too many other games out at the time, and I just never got sucked into it. I did get it on, was it the Xbox, original Xbox? And I couldn't get into it again. So, DB, have you played the previous games? Are you really into the series?
I remember playing the original one back on the PC. I didn't play Deus Ex 2, whatever that was called, when it was on Xbox and PlayStation 2. But I did get into Human Revolution. I didn't finish it, but I played a good amount of hours. I ended up picking it up on a Steam sale at some point in time. But I ended up playing it after the internet had kind of picked through it. So all the hacking codes and ability to, you know, the bypass passwords and things like that to get into certain safes and back doors of different things were all out and available online. And so I ended up playing it that way because, you know, I wasn't great at the minigames. I loved the idea that it kind of threw you into this world and you could go about things either stealthily or kind of running and gunning a little bit. But so yeah, I really enjoyed it. I liked the progression. It wasn't super smooth in terms of some of the controls, and so maybe they might address some of that. But I like the idea of being able to kind of develop your character and spec it in a certain way that fits your playstyle.
So just kind of going back to the stories you went through there, for Black Ops 3, just a little more detail, it's going to have, obviously, a zombie mode, which is kind of a duh thing. And then I guess your characters will have exosuits too, which is kind of weird, I thought, because I don't know if they're trying to tie in the current, you know, Advanced Warfare game with this one or, you know, what they're doing with that. And so it'll be kind of interesting because usually the Call of Duties are kind of like separate from each other. So, you know, like there's the Modern Warfare series, which I think now they kind of gone into Ghosts for through Infinity Ward. And then Sledgehammer has the Advanced Warfare series that they're starting. I'm assuming they're going to continue on with that. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting that they're going to have exosuits on in Black Ops 3 also. So
I didn't see that they were going to have exosuits. I think that's probably a good sign about the metrics of Advanced Warfare, that there's still a lot of people playing and the numbers of people coming back to it are maybe higher, or certainly higher than Ghosts. So maybe that's what they're taking as a cue. But they would have been developing it before then. I think about the, you know, Gray, you were talking about the development cycle. That would have been something that they were developing prior to knowing how successful this one was.
Yeah, it is. It's just kind of, I just thought it was kind of strange that they're kind of keeping it. I'm kind of glad because I like the exosuits, and I don't know if going back to just a regular, you know, just kind of running around would, you know, still do it for me or not. Since I've been playing Advanced Warfare, I haven't played any of the older ones. I still have Ghosts, and I think I got a Black Ops still on the 360, so I don't know, it's just kind of weird. Although, I mean, I can play, like, although it's kind of a different game, you know, like the Battlefield games, are just, you know, there's no exosuits or anything like that, but at least you get vehicles in there, you know, so you can get around the maps a little bit faster. And so I don't, I just like the faster pace with the exosuits, since you can jump around and double jump and boost sideways, you know, any direction pretty much. So it was interesting.
Well, gentlemen, I think with that, we're going to call it a show. I'm looking at the time here. I really want to thank DBQ Hams and Osiris Prime for joining us on Band of Gamers this week. And, guys, any parting words? DB, any parting words?
Thank you for hosting us, Gray. The conversation is always good. And check us out to continue that conversation on the Casual Adult Gamers forums. Lots of good conversations going on there.
Absolutely. And how about you, Prime? Any closing words?
Just thanks, Gray, again, for another great show. And if you guys want to catch me online at any time on Xbox, at least, I'm Osiris Prime. And also the same name on Twitch.
Awesome. And we'll all hang out at CasualAdultGamers.com. And someday, soon, we will have our own Band of Gamers website. And until next time, peace.